Last week I said that we would be joining with churches throughout the Canadian Baptist and Western Canada family, dealing with the overall topic of engaging the gospel. Engaging the gospel. And over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at what that means. But last week, as we introduced ourselves to the thought, we realized we needed to define our terms. We need to understand what exactly is the gospel. We talk about the gospel. I say I preach the gospel. We read about the gospel. We sing about the gospel. But it's important that we stop every once in a while and remind ourselves, what is the gospel? And basically, we said two things. There are many things you could say, but I think these are two important things to keep in mind. One thing is this. The word gospel is used in the Greek New Testament about 100 times. It's generally translated as gospel, or you may now more often find it translated in its literal meaning, which is good news. The gospel is good news. And that to me is the heart of it. It's good news. Another way to put it is this. If it's not good news, it's not the gospel. If it's not good news, it's not the gospel. There are many false gospels. There are many contorted gospels. There are many gospels that have been stretched and changed so much that they're no longer truly the gospel. They're no longer good news. The gospel is good news. But of course, we have to ask the good news about what? And basically, what we said last week is this. The gospel is the good news of Jesus. Jesus is the gospel. The gospel that we believe ultimately is a person with a capital B. Capital P, excuse me. I do know how to spell person. It's the Son of God, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel is Jesus. He is the gospel. He is the good news. And we talked a bit about what that means. What are some of the aspects of the good news? And one of the things we said last week is that the good news is dynamic. It's dynamic. Of course, if the good news is a person, if the good news is the living God, it can't help but be dynamic. Now, if it's just a theological construction, if it's just a doctrinal statement, those can be rather dry. But when it's a person, when it's the person of the living God, it's dynamic. We saw, for example, where the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1 says this about the gospel. The gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. The gospel is bearing fruit. I like to think that when the Apostle Paul wrote that line, he was thinking of something that Jesus said. It's recorded in the 15th chapter of John. You can follow there with me if you'd like in your Bible. I'm also going to have it on our projector this morning. John chapter 15, we're going to look at the first 8 verses where Jesus draws a beautiful picture, you may be very familiar with it, of the vine and the branches, which tells us some very key truths about who Jesus is and how we relate to him. John 15, 1 through 8. The vine and the branches. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the passage I'm guessing that you're probably pretty familiar with. It's a key teaching of Jesus. It reveals to us an important truth about who he is, and it draws a beautiful picture about how we can relate to him as a branch does to the vine. And the first thing it tells us is this: Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is the source of life. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." You may know in your study and reading of John that this is the final I am declaration of Jesus. You may know that Jesus 7 times says, "I am." You remember these? In John 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." In John 8, "I am the light of the world." In John 10, "I am the gate or the door." In John 10, 11, "I am the good shepherd." In John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life." In John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 15, "I am the true vine." I am the true vine. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew who he was. Sometimes Jesus is painted in history as kind of this lunatic, this guy who had this Messiah complex, who wasn't totally connected to reality. But that's definitely not the Jesus you find if you read the Gospels with an honest and open heart. Jesus was very clear. He was very clear about who he was. He was very clear about God. He was very clear about the world. There's no lunacy at all. He's very clear. And Jesus knew who he was. And Jesus wants us to know who he is. And he wants us to know how we can successfully relate to him. Jesus is saying, "I am life. I am the source of life." He said it a number of ways. I'm sure you know this. In John 5, 21, for example, he said, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to those to whom he is pleased to give it." Jesus is life, and he is the giver of life. It's his divine right. And in him, through his atoning actions on the cross, we too can have everlasting, eternal life. We can have spiritual life, which is just another way of saying peace with God. Peace with God is spiritual life. Jesus is the source of life. I know you love that story, as I do, of Jesus in John chapter 4 meeting with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. And in that interchange between Jesus and this woman, we learn so much about who Jesus is and again how we relate to him. And Jesus made it very clear to her, as he does to us this morning, that he is life. He says, for example, in John 4, "Everyone who drinks this water," he's referring to the water from the well, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus is life. Jesus is spiritual life, peace with God. Jesus is eternal and everlasting life. Jesus is life. This beautiful metaphor of the vine and the branches, drawn obviously from the grape or the vineyards of his time and place, tells us that Jesus is life. But it tells us more than that, of course, doesn't it? It tells us that life leads to growth. Life leads to growth. We know, don't we, that if the branch is firmly and soundly attached to the vine, growth is expected. That's how we know there's life. Growth is the evidence of life. And Jesus is saying powerfully and simply, if you are grounded in me, if you are rooted in me, if you are connected deeply with me, growth is expected. Jesus expects us to grow spiritually. This is clear in his life. It's clear through this simple and powerful metaphor. And it's taught throughout the New Testament. Over and over again in the New Testament, in the writings of Paul and Peter and James and others, it's made clear that it is expected that the believer in Christ, the one who's been born again by God's grace, the one in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, is to grow spiritually. One example of this is what Paul writes to the Colossians in Colossians 2. He says, "So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. It is expected that the believer will grow. But the beautiful thing that Jesus is reminding us of here in this metaphor is that we're not on our own when it comes to our spiritual growth. He is the gardener, and He is caring for us, the branches, that we might grow and be healthy. The Heavenly Father aids us in our spiritual growth. Jesus aids us in our spiritual growth. He points this out in two ways in this passage. First of all, He aids us in our spiritual growth through cleansing. We read in John 15, Jesus said His Father cuts off every branch that bears no fruit. Now this is a passage of scripture that has caused some confusion through the centuries. We must be sure we understand what Jesus is saying here. And as I've often said to you, it's important to understand what He's not saying. It's just important to see it there. What is Jesus saying? What is He not saying? Jesus is not saying that if you're not a fruitful Christian, I will cast you away. He is not saying that. How do we know He's not saying that? The way that we study and understand the scriptures is by comparing scripture to scripture. And over again, Jesus tells us that He will not cast us away. Jesus said that if you are in me, you're secure. I love that scripture in John 10 where Jesus says, if you're in my hand, nothing will snatch you away. You are secure in me. Jesus will not cast us away if we are in Him. So clearly that is not what Jesus is saying here. It may be if you look at context, and you've heard me say this many times, that you can't really understand the scriptures if you don't understand the context. What is happening? What's going on as Jesus is saying this? It's very possible that Jesus, remember now He's speaking to the disciples, to the 12 primarily. He may have been thinking of Judas. Remember Judas, the disciple who betrays Jesus, who proves by his life that he is not rooted in the vine, that he is not producing fruit, that we're going to talk about in a bit. The reason I say that is because if you go back to John 13, not too long before this incident, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that is why he said, not everyone was clean. So it could have been that Jesus is thinking of Judas, or you could just take this in a more general sense. But Jesus is saying, if we're not rooted in the vine, if we're not in Christ, there is no life and there can be no fruitfulness. And those branches, sadly, are cast away. Judas failed to bear fruit. Why? Because he was not rooted in Jesus by faith. So clearly that's what Jesus is not saying and is saying. But there's also another way of thinking of this passage. I've found that it's become more popular to think of it this way in the last number of years. You may know that the word that Jesus uses there in the English that sometimes is translated as cuts off, or in the New American Standard it's takes away. The word literally means to take up, to lift, or to raise. It can mean to take away, certainly, but it also means to take up, to lift, or to raise. This is a beautiful way of thinking of this, of the concept that Jesus is teaching here. He says that a vine dresser, the gardener, the one who cares for the vineyard, will look for bent and weak branches. And instead of tearing those branches away, if there's life in them, he will lift them up. He will lift them up and dry them so that they'll be free of disease, free of the mud and debris of the ground, and therefore can continue to grow and be healthy. This is so evidently a picture, isn't it, of what Jesus does for you and me. In some way, I suppose we're all bent. We are all bent branches from time to time, aren't we? Sometimes we're weak branches. Sometimes we are loaded down with the disease-ridden mud of life. Jesus lifts us up and frees us. He frees us and cleans us from ego and worry, apathy and selfishness, the lack of faith. And how does he do that? Well, Jesus reveals it right there in the third verse. He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Jesus cleans us spiritually through the word. He cleans us through the word. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Ephesians 5. That Jesus makes his church holy by the washing with water through the word. The washing of water through the word. This is the result of obedience to his word. Peter puts it this way, you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. Knowing the word, searching the word, and living out the word in obedience is the road to cleansing, is the road to spiritual health. So we are expected to grow. If we're in the vine, we're expected to grow. And the gardener helps us to grow through the cleansing of his word. But you also know that he helps us to grow through pruning. He says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Whenever I read that passage, I think of a dramatic example I had of that physically in my own life many years ago when we moved into a home in the southern United States. And there was in the backyard a huge grapevine, longer than the width of this building. It had been there for at least 60 years. But no one had been living in the house for a few years. So if you do any gardening at all, you probably have a little idea of what that vine looked like. Pretty bad, right? It was filled with leaves, all kinds of branches. But in the fall, when we got ready to harvest the fruit, there was very little fruit, because it had not been pruned for a long time. So after that season, after we got the little bit of fruit off that we could, I got my clippers and I cleaned it right down to the vine. It looked rather shocking at first. And I was a little bit nervous because I'm not a great gardener. Maybe I've killed it. But you know, come next spring, you know what happened. It began to sprout out. And that fall, we had some of the best grapes off that we'd ever had. The next fall, even better, and so on. You know that the vine from time to time has to be pruned so that the healthy growth can continue. It's a beautiful picture again, isn't it, of what God does in our lives. By his grace, through his power and his spirit, he frees us from being overgrown with the unhelpful shoots of life. He frees us from being overgrown by worry, by fear, by sin, by lack of faith, even by responsibilities, which means that even good things sometimes can push out our productivity. We become so overgrown, so laden down with the good responsibilities of life that we can't grow spiritually. And God can come into our lives as we open our hearts and lives to him and prune those things away that we might grow. The Bible tells us that in one way he does this is as a loving heavenly parent, that sometimes he disciplines us through the tests and hardships of life to increase our faith. The author of Hebrews put it this way, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. It's a beautiful way to think about the tests of life, isn't it? If you're going through tests today, could it be that God is pruning you for greater growth and greater fruitfulness? It's my experience. Many of you here no doubt can share it. I've heard many believers share it over the years, that it is through the tests and trials of life that we truly have grown in our faith, truly have become fruitful, as God has pruned us, pruned away fear and worry, and helped us to know his fullness and presence in our lives. Jesus is the source of life. And if we, as the branches, are rooted by faith through God's grace in the vine, then we're expected to grow. But of course, Jesus goes a little further than just that. He also says we're expected to be fruitful. The appearance of fruit is evidence of life in the branch. Let me say that again. The appearance of fruit is evidence of life in the branch. Jesus refers to fruit or being fruitful 7 times in our text. What does he mean by being fruitful? What is this fruit that he's talking about? We don't have time this morning to go deeply into as many things we could say about it, but let me just say these 2 things quickly. The first is, Jesus is thinking of the visible attributes of a Christ-like character. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 20, Jesus said, "You will know false disciples from true disciples by their fruit." He says, "By their fruit you will know them. By their fruit you will know those who are truly rooted in the vine and those who are not." And what is that fruit? It's a Christ-like character. It's becoming like Christ. It's living with his values, his perspectives, and his grace. There's so many ways to think of this. You know, no doubt, that wonderful scripture in Galatians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Just those 7 things are enough to keep us busy for our lives as we're trying to bring those things out, those kinds of fruit in our life. Don't need to say a whole lot more, do we? But notice he says it's the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, it's the production or the result of life. I can't be fruitful if I'm not rooted in the vine. That's where life comes from. It's where growth comes from. It's where fruitfulness, Christ-likeness, the fruit of the Spirit comes from. There is another way, however, in the New Testament that Jesus uses the idea of fruit. He also thinks of fruit as winning the lost for Jesus. You remember that Jesus in Luke 10 calls us to be harvesters in the harvest field. And the picture is as we harvest men and women for Christ, as we bring others into the faith, introducing them to Jesus, helping them to grow as we work together as disciples of Christ. That truth, too, is fruitfulness. Jesus is life. He is life. And if by grace, through faith, we're rooted this morning in the vine, who is Jesus, then there is life in us. And that life means growth. And that growth means fruitfulness as we allow him to cleanse us, as we allow him to prune us, as he by his grace works in our lives. The key to spiritual growth, to health, to fruitfulness, is a healthy, growing, and stable relationship with Jesus. Let me read Jesus' words again from the 5th verse. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." Dear God, thank you for the life that is ours in Jesus Christ. Eternal life, peace with God. And Father, I pray that you will help us each day to seek to be firmly rooted in the vine by your grace, that we might grow, and that for your glory, we might bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.